Merry Christmas. Christ is born. Amen.
Amen.
As I was thinking a lot about the Christmas season this year and reflecting on it, I kind of got blown away by the symbolism that's in the story of Christ. And I found myself kind of thinking about that quite a bit, and it all kind of centered around this one verse. It's Luke 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. It's amazing how God's word, even though there's not many words there, how much of a message can be there if you let God penetrate your heart and indwell your mind. The symbolism in the scene is amazing, and I kind of had three different little points I was thinking about that as far as the different types of symbolism. The first one was the scene of where Christ is born. The announcement of God our Savior coming to earth. It says he was born and they laid him in a manger. Kind of picturesque in a way. But, as I got thinking about that, I'm not a farmer. But when I look around at farms and you look around a manger or a feeding trough, not a real pleasant environment. And as I thought about that, it's like if God were to say to me, you're going to move to a garbage dump and feel free to take anything you want to make a home. That's where you're going to live. That's not a fraction of what Christ did when he left heaven and came to a world full of sin. And it's just, such a comparison there. And then if you think about the manger itself, the manger is a food trough. And it's sized about the right size to hold a baby. And it doesn't really say much about it other than manger, but, there's shepherds close by. So, was it a food trough for sheep? Yeah, maybe. And John's gospel refers to Christ, as the bread of life. So here we have the bread of life in a food trough. It kind of all comes together and makes sense. And they also refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God. So where better would you place the Lamb of God, who's the bread of life, to symbolize his mission? A food trough. And then the next part, as far as symbolism was, it was just like in their spiritual needs and redemption. It says that Christ came as a baby. Why a baby? Why not a king or a warrior? And it kind of came to me that Christ came as a baby to us because that's the way he thinks or he knows that we have to come to him. You see, there's babies have characteristics, and they all have the same characteristics. The first one is, they're totally dependent. Christ was totally dependent on his parents for life, just like any other baby. But when we come to salvation, when we're reborn, what that is that's accepting that we are totally dependent on Christ's work of the cross for salvation. Nothing we can do. And the next thing about a baby is, if you ever looked at a baby when they're first born, they're so small and tiny, but they're so complete. I mean, you look at their hands, the little details in them, their ears, their fingers. Everything's miniature, but everything's there and it's so complete. And, and when we're born again, our salvation is complete. We're done. We're filled with the Spirit. God gives us everything we need to enter into heaven. We have to grow, but we're complete. And the other thing about a baby is it creates change. I know, like, when we had our kids, everything changed. Our lives change. People change. Your plans have to revolve around the baby. Special considerations need to be made. And people, they act different around a baby. You'll notice, it even, the roughest of people get a tender heart or, maybe even feel a little bit clumsy. And in your faith, when you're reborn, is your faith changing the way you think? Is it changing your plans? Are people around you noticing something different? Are they a little uncomfortable or maybe a little clumsy because you're not the same as you used to be? And Christ's birth made a clear change in time. And we have BC and AD. When we're reborn again, is there a clear change in your life? Of what's happening in your life? Are you totally different after Christ than you were before Christ. And then the last symbolism that I was kind of hit me over the head was the practical symbolism. You see, you notice that when you read the story of Christ and his birth, there's not a whole lot in there. There's only a few pages, compared to the whole Bible. His whole birth and childhood is summed up in just a couple pages. And to me, that kind of spoke that we're not supposed to remain a child. We're supposed to grow. And then you have the shepherds, the story of the shepherds. You know, they heard, they went, they saw, they believed, they praised, they proclaimed. Isn't that a story of what a follower of Christ is supposed to be? And in reflection of all that, you know, as I looked around this year and was, you know, thinking about Christmas and just everything that's going on, it kind of dawned on me that that, you know, maybe we're missing Christmas a little bit. You know, when you think about all the buzz and the excitement that's going on, I mean, that is kind of fun to watch and see and be a part of. But, you know, the secular world, you know, every year they try to extend Christmas a little bit longer. They keep backing up the shopping season a little bit more and more. And in a way, that's irritating. But in a way, that's a lesson for us. You see, we as Christ, we should be extending the Christmas season. We should be pushing it out further and further. You know, it's not just coming and anticipating the Christ today when he's born. We should be looking for Christ in our lives every day, in everything. I mean, we're blessed so many ways, and are we seeing him for that? From the simplest of things like a sunrise, you know, praise God. Or when you're born again, that's Christ being born. Praise God, and we need to praise him for it. If you remove a sin from your life, you know, that's a reason to praise God. Everything we have is a gift from God. You know, if it's good, it's from God. You know, there's no such thing as luck or coincidence. God, blessings come from God. And your talents, your job, your possessions, all that. You know, meaningful fellowship, healing of a strained relationship, it's all blessings from God. And so the one thing that I wanted to try to encourage us as a group of believers is that, you know, as the season, Christmas season goes by, as we, you know, slowly get back into our everyday lives, don't let the Christmas spirit in us die. You know, we just need to continue to look for Christ in our lives, realize that what we have and what we own and all that we have, even the life, you know, the breath that we breathe, is a gift from God. And every day is a new blessing. And just to carry that on throughout the year.